What you looking up?
We have another top 10 list.
What?
Well, it's Marcus Harwell's. I don't think we've done his yet, though.
No, we haven't.
I feel bad that it's sitting there.
Sure.
We've done other people's who've been later than that. So I'm going to find it today. If it kills you!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Whitney.
And I'm Contractor.
That's right. The thing about Dave is you cannot see him on a podcast.
That's true.
Vampires cannot be seen on a podcast.
Cannot be seen on a podcast?
Nor can anyone.
No, that's true.
Unless it's a video podcast. I stand corrected.
Yes.
I've corrected myself. Happy Halloween, Dave.
Thank you very much.
I guess it's Hallow's Eve, so this is Hallow's Day. Because Eve must...
It'd be All Saints Day.
All Saints Day.
Yeah.
Or the Day of the Dedrick.
The Day of the Dedrick.
That's what they celebrate in Aldergrove. The Day of the Dedrick.
That's right. El Dio del Dedrico.
Right. Everyone puts on a Dave Dedrick mask and wanders around criticizing things.
What?
And they celebrate by starting improv scenes that go nowhere.
Someone's feeling a little sensitive today.
No, I'm absolutely fine.
Okay.
Actually, I'm having an incredibly confusing day. It's one of those days where the simple tasks...
Well, you know what it is today?
What is that?
Wacky... Oh, it's not Wednesday. It's Thursday. Forget it.
You've proved my point. You've proved my point. Simple tasks cannot be achieved today for some reason. I don't know why. Like things like I'm trying to get my computer keyboard to work. The batteries go out, but I know where there's batteries in this room, but I can't find them at all. I try to hook up the microphones. I hook them up wrong. That's completely wrong. I'm just confused the whole day. Simple tasks cannot accomplish them. So frankly, what I'm saying is this is going to be a terrible podcast.
Great.
Okay.
Way to sell it.
This is the one. If you can skip one podcast,
skip it.
This is the one. Spend that time with your family. Maybe call mom. See what she's up to. You know, would it kill you to call your mom?
Talk about criticizing.
Yeah, exactly. Am I right? Moms.
No joke.
Don't you hate moms?
By the way,
November 1st is Anti-Mother's Day.
Okay.
So this
it's
is the
All
day.
Saints Day, Anti-Mother's Day.
Right. You put what you should do
El Dio del Dedrico.
Get a card, fill all the complaints you have about your mother in that card, and then flush it down the toilet.
That's all it'll mean.
Too. Yeah, she's not going to get it.
She doesn't care.
You ever try and do that and like correct childhood slights when you're an adult? That's
childhood slights?
Well, things like, you know, something that they should not have done, and you go, you remember that time you and Dad did this thing, and here's what you always get. I don't remember that at all. At all! Ever, ever.
Because it's, they let go of it.
Yeah.
They
got a memory erasing ray. Yeah.
You're the one holding on to it. You're the one nursing that grudge. Like a little baby in your arms.
I don't think it's, well, I was. A little bit at the
Did
time,
happen?
I guess.
You remember that? You
no,
remember
I'm just saying, I was a child.
You were
so,
a child, yeah.
You know, there's a reason you're being childish about your childhood traumas, because you were a child at the time. You disagree? But that's as a parent. Here's the thing. Dave, as a parent, has to be on side of the moms
I'm
and the dads.
Yeah, like, I don't remember that.
When your mom and dad go, we got to form a united front against the kids, what they also mean is a united front against everyone else in the world. So
right.
All the moms and dads get together in their mom and dad meeting and just go, listen, we're not going to, we're always going to be on each other's side.
That's right.
Here's how it goes.
Exactly.
United front. The thin blue line is what they call that. Mm-hmm. Because that's the line that you see when you find out you're pregnant, is the blue line.
It's the blue line.
So that's the thin blue line.
The blue plus sign.
That's right.
For parents, every outrageously insensitive act, it's just immediately forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It's replaced by the memory of changing diapers.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's what happens.
Well, when you change...
You're like, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I changed their diapers. that's the thought process, and then it ends right there.
It purges it all away.
It is... I don't remember it.
That's a fair point. Okay.
What are you talking about?
So what you're saying is changing diapers destroys memory cells.
It
causes brain disorder.
It does not cause brain
amnesia.
Disorder. It does not cause amnesia. What it does is it changes your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your perspective as a parent.
Because you spent some time in the shit.
That's right. You're like, I was in the shit. People think you're talking about nom, but really you're talking about changing diapers.
That's right.
They're like, really? Where did you serve? You're like, serve? Man, I served in the bedroom. At the diaper change table. Actually,
where's my parade?
To be honest, people make a big fuss about that, but if anyone who makes a big fuss about changing diapers, I don't know if they're a parent, because it's actually not that bad. It's kind of fun. There's nothing cuter than babies laying on their back while you're changing them. You know?
Yeah, but you didn't have the boys peeing in your face.
We did. I had nephews. I changed both my nephews' diapers.
Okay. Did they?
It happened.
That's good. All right.
I didn't get in the face, but I got it in the shirt.
Oh, okay. Good for you. Do you dodge?
My wife got it in the mouth.
What are you talking for to the kid? Don't be talking while that's going on. That's awkward. Were you making small talk while you're changing?
Of course you are.
How you doing? Where are you from?
I used to sing.
You got business in town? What's going on?
I would always sing. Do you remember those commercials for some sort of Mediterranean resort or Mexican resort? And it was hands up.
Yeah. Babe.
I always sang that too, because I would make their, put their hands up to get their shirts on.
Yeah.
So I always sang that when it was time to put their shirts on. So then they would put their hands up.
Oh, that's very sweet.
That's fun.
Aww.
They always like this. They don't remember it.
Of course they don't.
That's the thing. That's the other thing the parents... Mm. That's the other thing parents remember, right?
What's going to
be like...
The good things they did.
Well, not that, but everything you did when they were a baby. No, the kids don't remember that. So they're like, Mommy, remember that thing that you did to me, blah, 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 blah. They're like, no, because you don't remember the good stuff I did to
you. I have a really clear memory of when I was three.
Really?
And when I was three, and I went on a, I decided to climb the fence in the backyard, and I went, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump. So I decided to jump off this fence, and I jumped and really hurt my leg, like it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me inside, and they sat me down on a big purple chair. I just remember the big purple chair. And they sat me down, and they said, what were you thinking? What were you thinking jumping off the fence? And I said, come on, I'm only three.
This is a true story.
Yeah, this is a true story. I'm only three. And they laughed. They started laughing. Like, why are you laughing?
That's great.
Yeah.
That is a, well, that's, I can't believe you could remember.
Oh, I can remember. I can remember something from just a little over one.
That's baloney.
No, it's not baloney. Because
I'm starting to sound like Arthur C. Clarke.
No, no.
You can remember being born.
Well, I'm not. I can remember Arthur C. Clarke being born.
He's older than you.
I know.
But he was. But you remember being in line with the other babies waiting.
Time bends.
Waiting for the stork to come and get, good luck, Arthur.
No, I remember I was like
see on the other side.
And I know it because I described things that were in a house that was my grandparents' house in Hamilton, and they lived in Hamilton before I turned two. So I just remember being crawling around and like seeing a mirror of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then two strong memories. One is seeing a mirror of myself and just being like, what's that about? Yeah. And then like kind of being that clearly. And then like right next to the mirror was a tie rack. It was my grandfather's tie rack. And I went up and I grabbed a tie off the tie rack and he yelled at me. And it was like, what's that about? Like, it was just like, ugh. It was like scary that someone who loved you would yell at you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I described this to my mom later. And she went, oh, yeah, that was, you would have been like, you know, about one and a half, a little younger than that, because that's when we were in Hamilton.
Wow.
Do you remember the tie rack? It's like, oh, yeah, I remember the tie rack. Yeah.
That's amazing. My memories start much later, like 10.
Is that right?
No.
Can you remember your first day of kindergarten?
I do remember that. I can remember just before starting kindergarten is basically where my memories start.
Okay. My strongest memory of kindergarten is this, where they separate us from the parents. And they did this, they did it too dramatically, way too, have I mentioned this on the show before? Where like they separated us way too dramatically. They put us in one side of the room.
They put you into railroad cars.
what are you thinking of? On one side of the room, and they had the room divider in the middle, like one of those that like you pull and it's almost like a blind, but like a sideways blind. So they pull it and all the parents wave goodbye and they pull it dramatically and then shut it. So we're now separated from our parents. And the first thing I thought was they're being eaten by an octopus. There's an octopus on the other side.
What?
And they're being eaten by that octopus. Then I thought that's probably not what's happening. But that was my first thought was like, clearly there's an octopus on the other side of the room. And then they showed us a film. And they showed us a little funny film about like someone made a paper airplane and went to a gorilla cage. I remember that. And we got cookies. And I went, maybe we're getting cookies every day. This is what school's about. Wrong.
I was too far away from my mic. This is better. I couldn't hear myself very well.
Oh, okay. Well,
am I clear now?
Yeah, you sound fine. I thought you sounded fine before.
My clear memory of kindergarten was getting a spanking.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unusual that they would have been doing that at that time, because that was when the spanking had gone out.
Basically, no, I was just, I think I was on the cusp of the ending of school spanking.
They spanked you on your cusp.
Yes, that's very painful.
That is the most painful place to be spanked.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. I will attest to that, because I still remember it. No, I was continually tardy. Continually tardy. And so that apparently deserved a spanking.
I completely disagree with that.
You do?
Oh, 100%. That teacher should be fired. On the spot. On the spot. Spanking a child for being tardy. Of course they should. Yes. But no question.
It was perfectly acceptable then, though.
Of course it was. And it was wrong. Many things have been acceptable in the past. Why aren't they around now? Because they were wrong.
Yeah.
That's how things go.
Yeah,
except for, of course, Pluto being a planet. I believe that should still be a planet, but that's an unrelated discussion. Not all things that are large are right.
He's actually a dog. I know people get mixed up. So is Goofy.
And why was Pluto called Pluto?
as a tribute to the planet.
Wrong. It was because the first time you saw him, he was a very vicious dog, and they named him Pluto, basically because he was very satanic looking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he was originally like a vicious, vicious dog, and then later on he became a lovable dog. But yeah, originally Pluto, basically it's a way of saying El Diablo,
yeah.
Satan, what have you.
Yeah, Pluto. Okay.
Now, before we got started, I was mentioning something about the news, and you didn't want to talk about it, but tough shit, I'm hosting
like
this one. Tough shit.
You're not hosting it. Introduced it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I believe that means I've got custody of this show. Dave and I, if we break up, we get half of the shows
That's
each,
right.
And this is one of the shows that I get, mm-hmm. which I think we've established is going to be one of the weaker shows.
Yeah.
Some
weekly shows.
Yes.
That's what I like to refer to them.
I work nights, so I see the morning news usually when I'm going to sleep.
Okay.
And me and my wife watch the morning news. And so it starts with some news. It starts with the big thing. Like
Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah. It will start with a Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will go like one other story that's happening, you know, in Canada. Like, yeah, that Prime Minister just punched a baby.
That did not happen.
On the cusp.
Oh, that did happen.
And, question period, we'll cover all that. Then that's a human interest story about that dog that rescued the squirrel. And then they all sit around this frickin' table, like, on couches, and just shoot the shit for, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes.
Really?
Just shoot the shit. Like, they bring the weather guy in. Oh, they had the weather already, too.
So wait a second. To me, that's the worst part of the news.
Yep.
Is in between segments when they do that awkward banter.
They've made this a full,
so it's
50, huge chunk.
Like 50 minutes of
I'm overkilling the amount of time. It's at least
it's
10.
Half an hour
it's
of
at least
banter.
It's at least 10 minutes.
According to Ian, it's an hour of awkward banter.
Because here's what it is. It's them all sitting around and they're just giving their comments on what they think. What about that news? I know, isn't it? And none of them have a fucking opinion. They don't. Because they can't. Because they can't go, well, I'm voting for this person.
Yeah.
You can't, because you've got to be unbiased.
Yeah.
So you've got to sit around and give your opinion without being unbiased on any... while being unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give it... So there's no point in an opinion segment. You need some guy to come out there and just go, I'll tell you what's what in these kids.
You need a Jack Webster.
Yeah, or a jackass. You need one of the two. You need someone who's got a real strong opinion. But no, it's just them all sitting around shooting the shit. And especially the women on the news, they just keep... Just keep throwing to looking at the main guy whose name is Steve Darling. Let's go that. It's too bad that that's his name.
Steve Darling. So
he's the
Wendy's
anchor.
Father. He's Wendy's father.
Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's Wendy's father from Peter Pan, which means he also plays Captain Hook.
That's right.
So anyway, Captain Hook. Now there's an opinionated
guy. I don't
think
that's spelled out in the book.
Well, let me tell you something. This show does not have a hook, but it needs a hook.
I've been told that.
Yeah. Not this show. I mean the news.
Oh, I've been told that this show needs a hook.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
A big shepherd's crook to pull us off when we're...
That is true, though, with Peter Pan. They usually have the person who's playing the father also play the Captain Hook in the thing. So we had when we did our show Swordplay, which is about Three Musketeers, we did a little tribute to that. Where when we came back the idea was it was a sort of parody of Three Musketeers, and then we...
I know, I saw it.
Okay, but other people didn't, so I'm going to tell them. And it ends with like one of the main characters.
Why cater to those jerks?
Again, this is why our ratings are terrible.
Okay.
All right. So the end of the first half with someone being killed, and then we come back in the second half. We find out that it's just kids playing D&D that have been running the scenario from the first half.
Okay,
and I come on as the father, and I'm very mean. But I'm also playing the villain, the cardinal, in
That's
the first
right.
half. And that was a little tribute we did to Peter Pan.
Ah.
So there you go. There's your there's a little bit of trivia for you about something you saw.
Thanks.
Huh?
Thank you.
That's just for you.
I appreciate it.
Now, Halloween, what did you dress up as?
I dressed up as a dad whose wife is having a birthday,
mm-hmm.
and also has to go to his class.
Ooh, so a harried dad.
It was harried dad, yes. My hair was harried. My face was rather hairy because I hadn't shaved that day. I was meant to have a shower in the morning and didn't have time.
Right.
I've had a harried week because we're...
Just walking the rain,
Lisa
man.
Lisa and I are celebrating her birthday by going down to Portland. Just us two.
Because you're a big fan of Portlandia.
This will be our first trip in quite a few years without the girls with us. We did go to Harrison Hot Springs, which is a local, you know this, but... The one or two people who listen to the show don't know that Harrison Hot Springs is a local spa and with a hot spring.
Right.
Hence the name.
Right. It's a hot springs and it's a swingers community.
That's true. That's a natural place to go for your anniversary. This is what we did. We went for anniversary and promptly cheated on each other.
It's not cheating if it's a swingers community.
At a key party.
Okay.
It's not cheating if it's a swingers community.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
I think what you told me, it was all people who were in choirs, so it was an off-key party.
I think it's time that Lisa stopped holding a grudge. That's all I have to say.
Oh,
I didn't realize that it wasn't considered.
You know what you need? You need her to change a diaper or two. That'll just erase her memory.
She changed my diaper. That you? No, let's wait. I changed her diaper, then I would.
Yeah, that's Nelson. That's where the fetishes are. You go down there. They can do the fetish stuff there. Erase the memories.
So anyway, we're going to Harrison. We're not going to Harrison. We're going to Portland.
Okay, make sure you know before you leave. Yeah, I know.
Home of Portlandia.
I just said because you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that show. And then we're going there. Portland, garbage dump of America. Horrible place. Full of garbage.
Last time I was there, there was almost a terrorist attack.
Full of terrorists.
That's true. That is a true story, though.
I wish it, well, was it really? There was a terrorist attack? What?
Yeah.
In Portland?
Yeah. There was someone who was trying to set up a bomb in Portland. Like, me and Pia were going around going, you know the nice thing about being in Portland? You're never going to get a terrorist attack. Cut to the news the next day, and they're talking about, oh yeah, some guy tried to set up a bomb about three blocks away.
Really?
In Portland, yeah.
He was too stoned to be able to carry out the task.
Yeah, it was the mayor.
Because it's Portlandia.
Yeah.
Am I right, Portlandia? They're all like hippies there. It's hilarious.
More 90s Americans.
90s Americans?
90s Americans than hippies,
That's even worse. So I'm going. I'm leaving tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do the title card ahead of time.
Oh.
So I'm going to be like...
You got to jam whatever it is jam, into this.
Yeah.
Jimmy jam it
and
in.
You're not going to know what it is.
Okay.
I'm just going to bring it up and you won't know what it is.
All right. Try to be subtle.
You'll be like, why are you talking about The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Dave? Like, why do you suddenly bring that up?
Because it's easy to draw. You don't have to draw faces.
You don't have to draw faces. I did draw. Oh, no, I didn't. I just put together a montage. That's what I like to call them now. It's a tribute.
A mishmash.
It's a tribute. Mishmash. Yeah, that's right. It's, what's that thing that the Negative Land? You know, the guy who would take, like, YouTube song? YouTube?
Are you thinking about YouTube or YouTube?
YouTube.
Are you saying me as well? Or what are you saying?
I meant to say
I'm confused as to what you're saying right now.
I meant to say inner tube.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Is that what you watch videos on? Yeah. Inner tube?
Not satisfying. Terrible resolution. Screen resolution's awful. But, so I've been staying up late to do that. Plus all my other things that I need to do. And then getting...
Dave is also a cat burglar. And a lot of people don't know, but he is a David Niven-style cat burglar.
That's right.
So that's really what the late... That's, whenever Dave, like, when we're doing our midnight shows, he's like, I just got to go. Mm-hmm. I just got to go away for just a little bit. And then Pink Panther-type music starts playing, and then he comes back with an enormous diamond.
Dave Raffles Dedrick.
Sure, I don't get that reference, but...
Yeah. It's okay, it's from the 1930s.
Oh, is it what you drew? No. I'm waiting for you to subtly shove this thing into the show. Speaking of Pringles chips, really? Yeah, it's an easy thing to draw. A Pringles can with the guy's face on it.
Really? But I would cleverly take the guy and turn him into the dragon.
Mm.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Looking like the guy.
Yeah. No, that's clever.
Not really.
It's pretty much what you do every week, though, right? Yeah, it's pretty much the same gag every week.
It's pretty much what you do. It's the same gag, isn't it?
Same gag every week. No, it's good. No. You take the thing and you put the dragon in it. Yeah, it's good.
It's the same
gag? No, it's great. No, it's fine.
I'm going to stop.
Dave, you know Hirschfeld, he wrote Nina and all of his stuff, and he's a genius, right?
That got kind of boring.
Well, whatever you want to say. That's you saying that. That's not me, brother.
I'm feeling self-conscious now about my title cards.
That's okay. If you want to insult my cartoons that I do for the show, you're welcome to.
My oldest daughter no longer celebrates Halloween.
Oh.
Well, she's in university.
Right.
I feel like there's some age that kids reach where you're supposed to look down on them coming to your door asking for candy.
Mm.
Like, people are like, 17-year-olds coming to the door asking for candy.
What's
like,
that? Why?
Yeah,
why
what's the problem?
What's the problem with that?
There's hardly anyone out anymore because all the kids are
when you were 17, did you stop liking candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then if they're like all partying boozy kids, you'd be like, hey, those kids, jerks. No, if they want to be still young in the head, let them be young in the head for a while. That's better for you.
I'm with you, brother.
Yeah.
I love giving out candy to the kids that come to the door, especially if they're still in costume.
Yes.
Like, to me, if they're wearing, like, baseball caps and come to the door, and, you know, they just look like regular teenagers, a little effort is nice.
Right. You know what would be cool is if a kid, a teenager came to the door and just opened his mouth and you heard a kid's voice coming out of it. That would be really impressive. Just like, oh, it's a kid dressed as a teenager. Yeah. Very good.
There's going to be moving people or whatever.
We had some good scary houses in our neighborhood. We had, like, really terrifying ones, but they, of course, have to then tone it down when the little kids show up.
Yeah.
But this one guy with mangled legs was just crawling along the sidewalk, and then, like, when he got to a kid who was old enough, he'd just, like, scream, and he was horrifying.
Oh, wow.
And then, like, a little kid would come by, and he'd just go to sleep.
Huh.
And then, like, another. But it was great because it was at the level that kids are at. Like, it's not the adult looking down at you. It's something on the ground looking up at you, and that's even creepier.
There's a fellow in our neighborhood who dresses like a wolf.
Good. We had a wolf, too. We had a big wolf.
He dresses like a big wolf costume. They come to the door.
Well, there's big paths that people have to their houses, too, that you got to go through. Like, I always thought, like, you should have three paths. One is for the little kids, and that's just, like, easy goings. Yeah. Everything's fine. And you get, like, a little fun-sized Snickers or whatever. Or Mars, because you can't get kid a peanut now or they'll die. And then the medium is a full-size candy bar, and that's medium. But you have it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary, that one. And then you've got movie theater-sized chocolate bars, like 12-finger Kit Kats, right? Uh-huh. But you're going through fucking hell on earth, brother, to get to that. Like, it's a nightmare that you will not be able to rinse out of your head for forever. Like, it's Saw time, man. Yeah. And you got to go through that thing. But then you end up with a gigantic chocolate bar. So when you get to the house, you get to make your choice. Which one do you want to go? Which route?
There's a really good haunted house here in Lower Mainland, a garden center called Potter's. And they do a big haunted house. And it's actually, well, the first time I went through it, next time you go through it, it can't be quite as startling because you've seen it. But the first time I went through it, it actually was quite good. And, it has people performing parts and stuff like that. And when we went through it, it was doing this like a mental institution that had gone crazy or whatever. Really crazy. So there's like this girl who was following you down the hallway, shrieking at you about her dolly. And it's like, she's kind of freaky, right? Because she's just all crazy looking. Yeah. And she's walking beside you and she's angry. And what was funny, though, is my wife, Lisa, her birthday is on Halloween. But she is in no way a Halloween fan. Mm-hmm. She does not enjoy scary things at all, except for her roles. She likes scary things in real life, like riding horses over big jumps.
Yeah.
Or riding on roller coasters and things like that. To her, that's exciting.
Right.
But watching a movie or going through a haunted house makes no sense to her.
Right.
So she went with us. I don't know why, because it's a haunted house. Maybe she's thinking, oh, it's a haunted, it's just fun. It's for the kids, whatever.
Just go for a walk.
We went in there. She was terrified. I've never been pushed so hard. She was like absolutely trying to just make me go through it as quickly as possible. And when we left, she spent the whole drive home just going, oh, my stomach's so sore. Oh, I just feel sick. Oh, because this attention was so much for her. It's quite amusing.
I was wondering, like, in that scenario, like, in a haunted house movie, you move into the house, ghosts want you to leave the house, or the ghosts want to kill you, one of the two. When you're walking
am I right?
Yeah. When you're going through your haunted house in your Halloween kind of haunted house thing, what's the motivation for the monsters? What's their deal? They just want to scare you? Do you think, like, their own, as an actor, you're playing the part of the zombie that comes out? Do you want to actually eat the brains? Do you want to, but you're just denied because you're chained to the wall. Yeah. What's your deal? Like, you're like, oh, I'm so frustrated. Like, 125 fucking brains just went by, and I have not been able to eat them. This is the worst day of my life. Or what's the deal?
Like, yeah, it's hard. I mean, the neat thing about Potter's, and I haven't gone through too many. Like, I've been on, like, Halloween trains.
Right.
And those are pretty episodic. You just kind of go from vignette to vignette, and there's no connection. The Potter's, they seem to have, like, a theme to the year.
Oh, that's good.
So, like I say, this one was all mental
And that actually works, because, like, a mental institution, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're just nuts, and you're walking through, and so they're trying to communicate.
But they're not just nuts. Also, the doctors are nuts, so you're facing off against crazy doctors.
Usually happens. The doctors are crazier than the patients.
There's got to be nuts to work here, right? That's what the poster says when you see the doctors. Nuts.
That'd be great if the poster said that, and then a hand just reached out from the poster and grabbed you. That'd be terrifying.
Grab your nuts. They're not allowed to touch you, of course, so it does limit.
That's right, yeah.
Some of the horror. And then the fun part is the very final thing that is there every year is it's a walkway. It feels like a remember bridge. It's not really. It's just along the floor. But it has the spinning lights, so it disorients you and makes it feel like you're spinning.
Ah.
So that's why it's like a bridge, because you have to hold on. Because if you don't, you'll fall over, because you get so disoriented by this turning. And, of course, outside where you're waiting, you can watch people walking through it, so you can see them hit it and then start leaning, trying to correct themselves because their balance is gone. And
if you just shut your eyes, would you be able to walk straight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what's the fun of that?
That's not fun. It's just common sense. I don't know if I've mentioned on here before that I used to be a dancing pumpkin. Did I ever say that on this show?
No.
Okay. There was a time when I was...
Think you should go any further, though. I think we should just all imagine it as unrelated to a job or anything, that you just were at one point.
It was my fetish, yeah. Well, I'm going to explain it. There was a farm in Richmond, and they decided, like, a way to get people to come and buy their pumpkins was to have a giant dancing pumpkin.
Obviously.
And I went, I need to pay my rent. So so I went and you have
to. So were you cast for this from an agent?
Yeah, the terrible, terrible agent that I had. also responsible for me being a singing elf Christmas.
That's right.
It's terrible fucking agent, yeah, let's just say. So we go in and you got the big pumpkin thing, and then you got the green tights you've got to put on. Where do you change? In front of the workers. It's great. So, you know, they're all getting a nice eyeful, and they want a break from work, so why not watch this? So
but you didn't have to strip naked to dress
in the pumpkin. No, but I'm in my underwear, right? Yeah. You know? And I didn't know that I would be changing in front of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I was wearing.
I didn't even do that in gym class.
Probably. I didn't put on tights very often in gym class or a giant pumpkin outfit because I wasn't in Pumpkin 101.
That's that class I was
Pumpkin
in.
Run.
It was the only co-ed gym class. So yeah. I always ran it.
All right, you gourds, get out there. Do the 5K. Squash, over there. Butternut squash, get over here.
I want to see 10 squash right now.
That's right, 10 squash squats. And then Sasquatch shows up and goes, you talking to me? No, I was saying squash squats. Oh, sounds a lot like my name. I know it does. And I go back into the woods. Sasquatch sad, and then he goes back in the woods. So I'm dressing as a pumpkin, and I go out in the field, and I'm dancing around, and they actually have a live band play behind me. But then it starts to, yeah. And as bad as my job is, they're doing it without coverage of their faces. So I'm doing my thing.
What kind of songs are they playing though? Like,
I don't know.
Did you dance to the monster match for 8 hours straight or what?
They just played some music, man. Okay. I didn't care. So, but then it starts to rain, right? And there's no coverage, but I've still got to go out there and dance.
Yeah.
So this farm has chickens, and the chickens are looking for cover, and the cover they find is giant pumpkin. So I've got chickens that swarm around my feet, and then they're like pecking at me a little bit, but they're just like there because they're dry.
Yeah.
So then they have this bus full of children, developmentally disabled children, really sweet, but they come out and they see me and they're not sure how to relate to me because there's no instructions, but they're trying to be polite. So they just come up and they all pet me. So they're surrounding me and they're all petting me and I'm still going to dance. And then I've got chickens around my feet and then they start petting the chickens as well. And it's raining and that's my job.
Did it get really heavy, the pumpkin?
Oh, yeah. It got heavy, yeah, because it soaked up the water like nobody's business. So that was a crappy job. So I did that one day.
Well, but could you have worked more days?
Yep.
Oh, but you didn't want to.
No.
You got a head wound?
No, I just went. No, I didn't get a head wound. Dave's referring to how I occasionally get out of work in the past. But I would never say I'm sick with the flu. I always say I fell down a flight of stairs and ended up in emergency and I've got a head wound. So,
the problem with that is if you go on the next day, there's no evidence of the head wound.
Well, yeah, it's under my hairline.
Oh, okay.
You don't,
yeah, you just say, oh, it's tender.
Wouldn't like, I got stitches under my hairline. Your boss isn't going to go, can I see you?
Yeah.
No, because you'd be a dick.
Unless they're morbid.
Unless they're morbidly obese.
Yes. I did not say that.
No, you didn't. And there'd be no relation to that at all.
You were a dancing pumpkin then.
I was. Who was a very fat pumpkin? Quite large. But anyway, smart chickens.
Chickens are smart?
Yeah, because they got where it was dry.
Well. You could have been a tree, and they go under the tree. And
that's right, but there was no tree, so they realized, hey, how about this jerk? Let's go under him.
I'm not gonna give any praise to it.
All right, fine. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto a Caesar salad some chicken, because it goes into a Caesar salad.
Render unto a rendering plant.
Let chicken Caesar. Now, Dave, you mentioned earlier that we had a little email, or we had a message. We had some sort of
comment on our website.
Okay, I assume it was negative.
Before we do this, though.
Oh, boy. Why don't you just mention something that you're going to draw?
A brief thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention anything. That
briefs, we're because I was in my underpants?
Exactly. This is a briefs thing. I'm going to jockey for position here. I just wanted to say a few things. One is,
okay.
I don't know if anyone was aware.
It sounds like
this.
You got too many things to
this
say.
This show was available on iTunes.
Really?
Yeah. You can go to iTunes.
So that's Information Tunes.
You can download the show. Although I heard that there's some kind of confusion now with the new Apple operating system and podcasts, that somehow it's different now and it doesn't work the same as it used to.
Oh, okay.
So now we are also available on something that's and some new kind of thing, which I don't
the
understand.
The radio.
Which is
Hi-Fi.
High fidelity. We're now available on 78 records. So if you write to the Sneaky Dragon Fan Club, pay $1, you get a card, a badge, and the 78 record of the most recent show.
And a decoder ring.
And a decoder ring.
Which, if you use it, it will tell you you pay us $20 more than that.
That's right. So, it's a thing called Stitcher Radio.
That's right.
And we're on it now.
Now, if you want to, you can download the app, the Stitcher app, or you can go on to your computer box, and that will also work. But yeah, the Stitcher app is free, and it's a good way to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, it has.
Without downloading them, you can just listen to them like directly.
That's right. You don't. Apparently, you don't need Wi-Fi or a cell connection.
No, you can.
I don't even know how that works.
Then. What? No, I think you need something. You can't just come magically through.
It says even without.
Oh, it's like radio.
I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Sweet
what it is.
Lord Almighty, what a world we live in.
It's crazy, and because it's also available in some car dashboards, like this Stitcher Radio.
Well, I like it a lot.
So if you have a new GM car or a Ford or a BMW or whatever,
right.
Not all the cars, but some cars have it in their radio dashboard, so you can listen to podcasts while you're driving.
Now, what if I have a penny farthing bicycle?
You can use your iPod and listen to headphones.
Okay. The only thing my penny farthing bicycle gets is Barbershop Quartets.
Is that right?
Yeah. And just the song Grandfather's Clock.
But that's all you get? This is not. How about Daisy?
Nope, you can't get Daisy. That's a premium package. You get Daisy.
You have to have a bicycle built for two for that.
That's right.
Okay.
I sang both of those songs in a vaudeville show once.
Thanks.
Yep.
A Grandfather's Clock. So
it was too big for the shelf.
So that's
stood 90 years on the floor.
So that's Stitcher Radio. And
it was bigger by half than the Green Man himself, but it weighed not a penny, weighed more.
Apparently, if you sign up on Facebook, you can comment on shows and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so why not do that?
You can also go to our Facebook page, Sneaky Dragon.
Yep.
Facebook page.
Or you can go to sneakydragon.com.
And like us there.
Yeah, like us.
We'd like to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a website, which you have to have if you have a podcast. Otherwise, there's a new URL for iTunes, take it, and blah, blah, blah. And then you can comment on there. And if you do comment on there, I will read it, and I might even write back to you, because I'm a loquacious fellow. So...
Loquacious, as you may remember, was who Captain Picard turned into in the Borg episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. He was Loquacious of Borg.
Loquacious of Borg.
Okay. Now, someone has communicated to us. They have put their list of movies they like in a bottle, threw it in the sea.
Yep.
I went for my morning swim, and it hit me in the head.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So we have a court case pending for damages. But anyway, this is from Marcus Harwell.
Nice. Nice fellow.
Who also wrote to us about our Day of Sin episode.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What did he have to say generally about that?
He said he remembered the time defending Day of Sin over issue 186.
Okay.
But it became harder and harder as he realized it wasn't...
This was issue 186 of Cerebus.
Of Cerebus, yeah. The controversial, whatever it was.
Dave Sim had put some anthrax into his comic. It was a little controversial. He opened it up and it was surprise!
Yeah. Very terrible.
Or there was something about ladies.
There's something with the ladies in there. He just said, I remember it became harder to defend him when he realized that it wasn't some kind of a, you know, artistic put on or whatever, that he actually believed these things. It wasn't just part of the story.
It's tough sometimes. It's a lot like what happens sometimes with stand-ups where they do like an act and you're like, is this an act or is this not an act? Mm-hmm. Do you really believe what you believe or do you not? And then you go, yeah, it's tough to tell.
I don't remember what show that was, but if you're interested in reading it, it is an interesting letter that he wrote us. So if you're interested in reading it, you can go to the website and find it. On the episode we talked about Dave Sim, which I don't remember when that was, sometime at the beginning of
October. Well, it's got a picture of the Sneaky Dragon.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what you do. You put you take the character and you make it into the dragon. Every week.
Yep. If you don't like it, fuck you. So,
I direct you to the case of Like It v. Lump It.
So
I think you do some fine title cards, Dave. Let me actually say that.
I know you always compliment them.
I do, because they're good. All right,
thank you, sir.
So Marcus has his 10 reasons he doesn't like our show.
Well, you don't want to look at them, but you can kind of.
I can't.
See them.
No, I'm not looking at them.
Okay.
Right now.
All right. So they're not in any particular order, I assume. So I'm just going to start at the top and read to the bottom.
Now, why don't you make me guess? Because last week I tried to make you guess, and you were terrible at it.
I am terrible.
Okay.
I'm not a good puzzle person. Although I'd like to do crossword puzzles, which is strange. Mm. I like to do the Sunday Times.
I've been on two game shows. I did fairly well on both.
Okay, good for you. So, the first one is a...
Star Wars!
No.
Okay.
The first one is, I guess?
River Runs Through
It. A River Runs Through It. No. Nice guess, though.
Tim Burton's Halloweeny. Weenie. Wiener Wada. Halloweener.
Frankenweenster.
Yeah. Should have been called Halloweeny, by the way, I think.
Yeah.
That would have done good.
That would have been way better.
Would have been way better.
This is an animated film, though.
Oh, all right.
And the initials of it are... I'll just give you the initials without... It has the in it, but I'll just give you the initials. I-G.
Oh, the Ironic Giant.
The Ironic Giant. That's right. With a giant...
He was so small.
He's so small. but it's ironic. How small? Because he's called a giant.
So this is Brad Bird's The Iron Giant,
yeah.
Which was the sequel to The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde.
Sequel? Yes. Actually, it is based on a book, though. It's based on a book by the... writer Ted, I can't remember his name now, he was married to Sylvia Plath, and I can't remember his name. He was a poet. Anyway, you know Sylvia Plath, right?
Yeah.
She wrote The Bell Jar. She also killed herself.
Right.
Well,
she did that after she wrote the book.
after writing
the book. By the way, if you're an author, do the killing yourself after you've written your amazing
book.
She did some attempts, but if you do, after the book.
Yeah, she did some attempts before she finally succeeded. This was a story he told his kids as a way to help them deal with their mother's death. The Iron Giant, the original one.
Yeah.
And then Pete Townsend also did a concept album based on the story as well. The original story is quite a bit different than the movie, though. The movie takes it in a whole different way.
Right.
Which animated movies tend to do.
And the animated movie by Brad Bird connected him sort of with Superman. Which was interesting. He had the kid read the Iron Giant comic books, like The Spirit.
Okay.
It was good to see The Spirit in there.
Yeah.
And then Superman. And then he went, oh yeah, I'm a hero. I want to be Superman. That's what he wanted to be. And it was nice. It was one of the best Superman movies that was not a Superman movie.
It's been a long time since I saw that film.
It's a really fantastic film. And a lot of people who don't like Vin Diesel go, all right, I like Vin Diesel in this a lot. He's the Iron Giant.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
It's really good. We had the poster up at our home for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Brad Bird is just fucking great.
Well, you know.
Listen, you know, here's the thing. If you got Netflix, go to Amazing Stories and look up Family Dog. And that was before Simpsons, and you'll see stuff and go like, there's a little bit of Simpsons-y stuff in there. But he is fantastic. He did, of course, Ratatouille. Just recently
he did Simpsons.
Mission Impossible 4 he just mm-hmm. did. Yeah, The Incredibles, which is one of your favorites. Yeah,
the best superhero movie made thus far, Incredibles.
The Incredibles. On par with Avengers, we'll put them a little bit above.
Yeah, better than Avengers.
Well, I would say no. Because
The Incredibles has that feeling of exhilaration at someone's discovering their true power. You don't get in the Avengers movie, I don't think.
Because you got it in the other movies.
I never felt it from those movies, though. Not the same way it comes across. And when Dash is running in the water and he giggles with glee at the fact that he can run on water.
I would say in Iron Man, the first Iron Man, there's things where he finds out he can fly and can do these amazing things. I think there is that feeling in that. And the first time Captain America starts running, this guy, am I right? Anyway, Iron Giant, anything by Brad Bird. Fantastic. I love that both Brad Bird and Joss Whedon have gotten enormous hit movies this year.
Captain America had a lot of nerd whine in it, so I just didn't
like, what was the nerd whine?
Well, here's, I remember here where I was beaten up. Come on.
That's nerd whine?
Yes.
Boo. Wrong. Okay.
Boo. Wrong. Number two. Okay, you're looking.
I'm not. I can't see it, I swear.
Okay, this is a classic film.
If I'm looking at anything, I'm looking at the clock.
A classic film.
Okay.
Starring...
Sound of Music.
No, it's black and white.
Sound of Mucus.
Black and white. And it could have starred Ronald Reagan. But it didn't. It was recast, but it could have starred Ronald Reagan.
That didn't help
me
at all.
In the title role. The movie is, what is the name of a city and it starts with C?
All right. Chicago.
Nope,
California.
This is an old film.
Old film.
40s.
Okay. Well, Chicago was around in the old days.
Star Humphrey Bogart.
Casablanca.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Originally, the White House.
Originally had in the cast would have been Ronald Reagan playing the Humphrey Bogart role.
Oh, neat.
And I can't remember who the female was cast. The lady actress was cast instead of Ingrid Bergman. That film. You've talked before about films that you know so well that you've never seen them.
Yeah.
That when you see them, it's a bit of a disappointment.
Because you're putting together the jigsaw puzzle and you've already got most of the pieces already.
I always feel kind of like a flat feeling about that movie. Like I know everyone claims that it's such a classic, but I've never appreciated it in that way. But I have to admit that any time that it's been on that I've come across it and I start watching it, that I find it gripping and I always watch it to the end.
I think it's also, for guys at the time who were not allowed to show emotions, it's a very emotional movie with a guy who can't show emotions and then has to make a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you know it's tearing him apart.
Yeah.
But he makes the big sacrifice for something greater than himself. And I think that would appeal to a lot of men at the time. It was like, yeah, all right.
Well, particularly wartime, that just coming out of the wartime.
But I think in general that if you're the kind of fella who you shouldn't show your feelings, but you're going to make the sacrifice for family or work or whatever, you're going to make a sacrifice for something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guy you want to see yourself as. The cool guy, you want to be cool, not going to show too much emotion, but the girl loves you and would leave the dork in a second for you. But hey, man, you're going to make that choice, and she's getting on that plane.
Thank you for describing me so aptly.
Sure.
There's something else about that film. It's something to do with the ending that they didn't know exactly how they were going to end it.
Yeah, the original ending where he says, this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, they turn and then they start making out. And they went, you know what? Maybe too soon. You know, we shouldn't. So, yeah.
What's wrong?
Oh, that was the little box started making a wander towards the edge.
Must be standing on the cord.
Yeah.
Okay, now number three.
Okay.
Number three.
Three Little Pigs.
I believe this is an 80s film.
Three Men and a Little Lady.
I believe this is an 80s film. Initials.
Number five is a lie.
R.G.
R.G.
80s film.
Real Genius.
Yes.
Holy cow!
Yes.
Real Genius.
I got that in a million years.
One of my wife's favorite films.
Never seen it.
Is
this star of Val Kilmer?
Yes, it does. The writer for that is actually someone that I like very much, who I did a TV pilot with called Channel 92, and they brought him on board because he was a writer for WKRP, mm-hmm. also wrote Caddyshack 2, forgive him for that, everybody. But yeah, he was the writer of Real Genius. Of that genre of movie, that is one of the best of that genre of movie, mm-hmm. of the wise Kraken, anti-authority. They have the guy as the dean, the guy who's Peck in Ghostbusters. He's that guy who's like, oh, you guys, I hate you all. He was the villain of the 80s. If you saw him, you'd go like, that guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the bad guy in, not the bad guy, but he's the jerk in Ghostbusters. Damn it, he's in another movie of that time, too, where he plays like almost exactly the same. Oh, Die Hard. He's the guy who is the reporter who spills the beans and says, oh, yeah.
What's his name? I can't remember. He's also in Day of the Locust.
Yeah, he's a good jerk.
Yeah.
Well, he's your go-to
nice
jerk.
He's a nice guy in that movie. He's
a nice guy. Oh, it's nice to see. But in the 80s, if you needed a jerk, he was your go-to jerk, mm-hmm. and he's the villain in it. Yeah, they do some
he's kind of preppy. And that was the you know, era that we're supposed to hate yuppies and those sort of things.
And it was also one of the, it was a pro-nerd movie that wasn't like Revenge of the Nerds gross. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Nerds Are Gross. It was, there was a couple of people that were like that sort of in the film. But then you also had the really hot girl nerd that was just like, oh my God, she's so autistic. It's fantastic. But in that way that I got a shot here.
Wow.
And then at one point they freeze like a whole floor of you know, their school, and they all go like sledding. It's pretty neat.
Wow. I'll have to look for it on Net Movies.
Yeah, it's fun. And Val Kilmer, you know, Val Kilmer just does the kind of wisecracking, you know, a little bit above it all guy, but then he's got a bit of a heart to him, and then they have a great scene microwaving a large amount of popcorn. That's all I'm going to say. That's very good.
That's good.
They go, how did you do that? Oh, my gosh, that's...
What do we think of Val Kilmer?
We think Val Kilmer was really good in that Zucker Brothers movie.
Top Secret, yeah.
Yeah, very good in that. Very good in that.
Elvis.
Was he in Thunderheart?
I never saw that.
I think he was okay in Thunderheart.
You know, the other movie he was good in was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I've heard good stuff. I have not seen that.
You haven't seen the movie?
No, I have not.
Oh.
No, I think he is really a good actor who's just kind of fallen into, now. But, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he'll do a few sit-ups and he'll be fine. And then we'll like him again.
He has a big ranch in Texas.
Maybe, you know, you do enough movies. I mean, geez, you do one Batman movie, and that should be enough for the rest of your life. That's your lotto ticket, brother. Unless you've got a drug habit, you're fine.
But that
Batman movie made a lot of money.
For him or for...
Everybody, I'm sure.
One of the ones that was directed by the person we're not supposed to like?
It was, yeah, Schumacher, Batman Forever. But it still made infinite dough.
Okay.
You know,
so that's why he was allowed to make the next one.
I think he saw which way the wind was blowing on that, and he just like took off.
No, but I mean, that's why Schumacher got to make one more.
Oh, yeah, because he made incredible amounts of
film. It's like watching different colors of candy floss roll around in a barrel.
Mm.
Those Batman movies.
And also that, as we've discussed before, the third Batman movie isn't completely terrible. The fourth one is, it's just,
This next movie. This next movie, I'm going to give an anecdote.
Going to give a little bit. Give a little bit of your love.
A little bit of an anecdote for you, because this will relate to something we talked about a little while ago.
Please.
Which is
Dancing
when
Muppets.
We went, we took a long 2-hour bus ride out to a faraway suburb from where we lived to see a free movie at a movie theater where your girlfriend was.
Yes.
Poltergeist 2.
3.
3. Then, after the movie was done and she was finished her shift, we got onto the bus and took that
And she went to see her boyfriend, and that's when I realized there was a problem.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
We went together. All three of us went back to North Delta. And I was like, okay, these two are going to do their boyfriend-girlfriend thing. So I will...
They're going to say their dirty business.
I will go home and you guys can, you know, do
I'll go talk to my vicar about it.
I'll go confess to the priest that I had some thoughts, you know, related to you two. But instead, we went to a video store and you rented this movie, which may explain why she was taking the bus to see her other boyfriend.
Possibly. What? Okay, I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember this at all?
No.
So this is a film. Okay, it's T-I-S-T is the, are the initials. It is a mockumentary, the very first
one. This is Spinal Tap?
Yeah.
Oh, well, if she doesn't like This is Spinal Tap, to hell with her. Here's my nice memory of This is Spinal Tap, is before I saw the movie, I was in a record store at maybe A&B? No, it was something. I want to say Sam, but of course it wasn't Sam. Was not here. No, but it was.
Well, Sam was at the mall, but it was here at the mall.
It was on Seymour Street. It was one that like went up really high. It was like multiple floors.
That
of
was
like,
Sam's?
Yeah, well, then it was Sam's. Okay, good.
But when Sam was in hit during that time, there was no Sam's.
But it was in the 80s.
Not here.
Okay, well, there was some store on Seymour Street.
Maybe on Granville Street at Kelly's.
No. This was like. It was on Seymour Street, okay. For sure. And so we're in there, and I see this album, and it's like, this is Spinal Tap,
The
album. And my friend, our mutual friend, Gina Almeida, buys it for me. Goes, oh, I'll get that for you. And I'm like, that was just like generosity I've never seen before. Yeah. Like, you'll buy me an album. That's crazy.
Knowing Gina, it was probably money she stole from her grandmother. But
that's
anyway,
fine.
That's how I got Dead Kennedys record from her.
Yeah, good for her. but I listened to the album before I saw the thing, and I went, oh, this is great. But... No, that's a fantastic movie. Yeah, This is Spinal Tap? Holy cow. It's the movie that launched 1,000 improv movies. Some of them okay.
A few of them are okay?
Yeah, a few of them are okay. But it did what the others should do, which is, like, it was smart, actually, like, when you look at, like, Waiting for Guffman, where they actually have musical numbers in between, which really breaks up the improv. I think where they start getting into trouble is when, you know, even like the dog movie, Best in Show, at least you've got interesting dog stuff going on, so you can watch dogs. But for the most part, you just got to break it up with something, brother.
Yeah.
And in Spinal Tap, they had, like, full-on great songs.
Yeah.
That was it was a really nice balance.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those, I think that was one of the first, like, Rob Reiner movies that you went like, oh, that guy's pretty good. And then, like, he was, like, amazing for so long. And, like, now, what the hell? Why no good movies for, like, forever from that guy?
Yeah, what's the last film that he did?
What's the last film?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't think he knows.
But that is a great film.
It's a generous film. It just keeps going. You're just like, wow. And every time they keep trying to go back to it and do the...
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't. Because it's so much that moment. Because it felt real. Too, like, because it was just that perfect time, right?
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing we've talked about with Monty Python when they do a DVD or something and they try to recreate Python's humor for a DVD or whatever or for a TV special. It just feels
well. It was
forced.
Smart when they did A Mighty Wind because it was the same. It was a lot of the same people,
yeah.
But now a different genre. And like, now we're starting fresh, and you still bring that love that you have from Spinal Tap.
But it was still timely though, because in the 90s you did have that. That nostalgia for the folk era of the 60s, you could see those shows on PBS, you know, for fundraising drives and stuff, they would be playing, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary or those sort of things. And so it kind of fit that time period.
Well, the fun thing was, like, when they actually did the live shows, they would bring those, the Folksmen. The Folksmen, was that the name of the band?
To be honest, I've never seen A Mighty Wind.
Okay, well, honestly, you should. But
they
would bring the Folksmen out as the opening act for Spinal Tap, and most of the audience would not know that they were the same performers.
I remember them doing it on
Saturday Night Live. Yeah, and the audience would boo them. And they'd just like, all right, we're just going to play another 5 songs for you. And I'm like, oh, boo! All right. Okay, this one's a bit of a long one. Here we go. They just start singing.
Yeah. It's a wonderfully conceived thing, but I don't know why I've never watched it.
I watched that movie to death. And also I think it was because, like, at the time she was interested in improv, and anyone that's interested in improv, I go like, oh, you got to see this, because when you think improv, you think, you know, a theater sports type thing or competitive improv, but it could be that, but it could be this.
Well, naturally you wanted to share something that you love with your friends, but
that's right.
I probably just should have come at another time. Okay.
I blame you for the breakup.
You should, because I was the other guy she was going.
What? No, actually, how I found out was, of course, I went to a Christmas party and saw all her stuff in his room. I'm like, oh, you guys, what's up? Well, she lives here. Oh, that's a sign.
I guess it's slightly better than the news.
I was at their wedding reception, and I went, wait a minute.
Something's going on here.
I'm taking this present back. Okay.
This fondue pot's coming back to my house. Okay, the next movie? You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it.
It's the Spike Lee film. You're never going to get it.
That's right. You're never going to get it. This is, okay. I think it's late 90s.
Okay, give me the initials.
Early noughties. I'm not too sure exactly. Okay. The initials are WB. W-E.
Okay. Winter's Bone.
Nope.
Okay. That's a pretty good
guess. That's a good guess.
Okay.
It's not it.
Starred Warner Brothers.
Starred Tobey Maguire and Michael Douglas.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wall Street Boys.
He's a university professor who wrote a book.
Oh, damn it. Yes, I know this one. Yeah. God damn it. I know what you're talking about. I can see the trailer in my damn Wonder Boys,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's strange. Like,
I have not seen it.
You've never seen it?
No. I love how every time we're shocked.
I know.
What?
You haven't seen this film?
No.
Well, just because, you know, we watch so many movies that when we haven't seen one, it's kind of odd.
It is very odd.
Because, like, me not seeing A Mighty Wind, it just feels like, why haven't you seen A Mighty Wind?
Yeah, you should see A Mighty Wind. Like, as someone who likes comedy and music,
yeah.
You should see A Mighty
Wind. It's a natural fit.
Yeah.
I just have never...
That's a good movie to see. You can see it with a whole family. You can sit around. You're all going to enjoy yourself. The songs are really good.
Can I say one more thing about Spinal Tap? Because you said it's a very generous film. But do you have the DVD with all the extra material?
No,
it's a little
I don't.
Too generous.
Oh, the DVD?
Well, this is just too much.
Yeah, like, the movie's enough.
You can see why.
We're good.
We cut it. It's perfectly made. We don't need to see any other things. Winter has a jazz odyssey in it. That's all you need. So The Wonder Boys, it's a very good film. It's by the director who did L.A. Confidential and 8 Mile, the Eminem.
Okay,
Eminem
yeah. Movie.
And it's kind of interesting because it's not like a major, it's not like a big money movie or whatever. It's about this kind of frustrated university professor who's kind of feels trapped. He was a successful author. Now he's kind of fallow. I believe they're trying to get some book out of him or whatever. And Tobey Maguire is kind of what he sees himself as a younger, you know, as Tobey Maguire is a younger version of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of a wonder boy. And he was once a wonder boy. Now he's his aging.
Right.
And,
classic story.
But it's a very good film. It's a good film. I don't know what else to say about it because personally I wouldn't put it on like a top 10 list of movies. But I can see how it would appeal to someone in a particular way.
I will give it a watch.
The same way that if I was describing like a Whit Stillman film to someone, they'd be like, sure, Dave, top 10 list movie all the way, right? But
you had to be there.
You had to be that age, or it's some I can see. Just like what Stillman is a particular thing, I could see why that film, which is a very particular thing, would appeal to someone.
Yeah, and there's no connection between that and Wonder Woman.
Wonder Boys, no.
Wonder Girl, any connection to Wonder Girl?
Nor Wonder Because
she was very pretty
on
the Wonder Woman TV show. Remember when Wonder Girl showed up?
Yeah, she was Deborah Winger.
Yeah, pretty good. You ever see her on Letterman, where she strips off the outfit and is Wonder Girl? Yeah, pretty good.
That's good.
That's a good movie when that happens.
The thing is I'm kind of like you, is that I always like the girl who isn't the hero.
Mm.
That's the girl I like.
Yeah. You like Etta Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, there's Xena Warrior Princess. I like the girl that traveled with
Gabrielle.
Her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everyone likes Gabrielle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Xena. I'm trying to think of other superhero women. Then I'm thinking like Tomb Raider. Nope, just her. Anyone else? Nope, that's all.
Well, it could be anything. It could be like a movie, you know, like say Philadelphia Story.
Mm-hmm.
You have Katharine Hepburn as, you know, this woman that all the men desire. Well, I prefer Ruth Hussey's character. I would rather, I'll go with you.
Look, every show you talk about Ruth Hussey, and we've had enough of it.
I think you're thinking of Ruth Buzzy.
Oh, yeah.
I always talk about her.
Ah.
All right, next movie.
You're not a Joanne Worley man is what I'm hearing.
She was on Emergency the other day.
Okay, she wasn't on it the other day. She was on it the other decade.
Other decade, but I was watching the day, and she was on it. She was had a very brief cameo at the beginning of the show, and it made no sense.
Yeah, it was just like but it's the kind of
screams therapy woman.
Yeah, I remember that episode because I watched it in reruns. I didn't watch it originally.
You didn't watch it originally?
No.
You must have.
No.
Really?
No.
I did.
Good for you.
I would look forward to getting home from Cub Scouts so I could watch Emergency.
I quit Cub Scouts because I didn't like it.
Well, I also put Cub Scouts because I didn't make it out of it.
Yay! Screw you, Cub Scouts. Quitters always win. Winners always quit. And losers always do drugs. All right, next.
Next movie. This is one of your favorite films, SPVTW.
Wow. SPVTW. The wind. Something the wind.
Nope.
Powers the wind.
The world.
Stopping the world. Stop the world. I want to get off.
SPV the world.
SPV, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah. How do you not get that?
I don't
you
know.
You love that movie. You're always talking about it.
I do. I love that movie. Yes.
Endlessly.
It's great.
You know, I watched it a little while ago because we talked about it and I said that I was a little unhappy. I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped I would.
Right.
I watched it again, and I actually enjoyed it a lot more.
I think it's like a great message for young folks.
Get drunk.
No, it's like sort of know yourself, you know, and if you're a
theme on our show.
Yeah,
be yourself.
Yeah, it's like the denial, like his denial of who he is. Like, I don't drink. Hey, here's your two drinks you normally get. Oh, wait a minute, you know, and then like he actually ends up facing himself at the end, and like, I kind of like myself. You know, I like my dark self.
Yeah,
and it's like, wow, that's like a right on the nose thing, but shit, yeah, you need to do that before you can be a decent person to other people. Otherwise, you're going to become a guy who's going to hurt a lot of other people in your wake.
I think my problem with the film is I was so excited it was coming out. And I had the same reaction to Damsels in Distress. I was so excited it was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finally saw it, all my anticipation, you know, it just curdles because you just hyped yourself up so much that no film could match your expectations of it. And so, watching it again, you know, I was more relaxed and I enjoyed it more. And also, all the endless trailers that had come before it were out of my mind. I no longer remembered every single joke, when I went to see it, I had seen almost every joke in the film in the trailers. So when I finally saw it,
I disagree with every joke being in the thing because there's so many jokes that, you know.
I just feel the film was badly marketed.
I think things like, you know, the scenes with him and his roommate are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, it's like that kind of slacker thing and just like, it's hard and like, no bacon for you until you do this.
Yeah. Just some of the really good jokes, like the bread joke or him jumping out the window joke. Those are all in the trailers. So
yes.
When you saw it, you're like,
I think if
you saw it in the film, you would have really laughed at
true,
it.
True. I think, like, it gives them the context, though. Like, I mean, things like just talking to just all the friends, like every character in there is like really a good, interesting, weird character that I buy. I love the girl who swears and has all the bleeps and what have you. I love everyone describing Ramona in the party.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh,
What I love is his sketch of her. And oh, that's Ramona Flowers. Like, I recognize her right away. It's like the worst sketch. It looks nothing like her.
And I liked at the end where he's repeating the final battle. And the things that people were saying as he comes in, just like, I'm just saying that the comic book was better than the movie. It's like,
My one complaint about my big complaint about the film, I do feel it was badly handled in terms of marketing.
Okay.
Like, I just don't, you know, and it was a flop. Like, it wasn't a success.
Yeah.
And people said, why are people going to see it? Well, they either oversaturated people who were interested in it and didn't give enough of a handle for the people who possibly would have seen it if they knew what it was.
Yeah.
Like, so either the trailers were too in and didn't give you an overarching sense of the film, or for me, they were just too dense, full of the film. That when I finally saw the film, I've seen it already.
Well, the thing is, I'm also going to go, like, really nice Chris Evans work as Lucas Lee. All the posters, like, just Jesus Christ, like every one of them is hilarious. You know, the next sound you hear will be the bullet going through your head. You know, what's his name? Who Brandon something who played Superman?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Routh? Am I thinking? Am I wrong? Brandon something? Brandon Tartikoff. He's just the really intense vegan dumb guy. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's great.
Just good stuff.
Oh yeah, so
have you not seen the movie, people? Please go see it.
Go see that. Okay, next.
And by the way, read the comic book as well. Very good. Don't get the color version though. I'm not all big on them re-releasing it in color. You don't need that nonsense. Get yourself the black and whites. You can get them cheaper. Go on the Comixology. You can download it. Okay, go ahead. Don't BitTorrent though. Pay the money. Okay, continue, Dave.
All right, so...
I will say this, though, that one thing I am glad, for all that the film didn't do super great, it did boost the sales of the comic enough that a lot of people who would not normally have read the comic read the comic. And you know what? As someone who works in comics, huzzah. Win-a, win-a, win-a.
Win-win-win.
Okay.
All right, so...
Speaking of
Rob Reiner films...
Okay. North.
Was that where he went off the rails?
A little bit.
That was his sort of... That was his kind of his toys. His dream project that went...
A Few Good Men.
SBM.
SBM.
Yeah.
Superbum.
Superbum, indeed.
SBM.
Rob Reiner film, Superbum.
Rob Reiner film.
Sleepless. No.
Bum in Manhattan.
Stars, I believe it stars someone we talked about a few times on the show who was in Sliders, Jerry O'Connell. I think he's in the movie.
What? Oh, Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
In the movie,
but a chubby version of him.
Yes.
It's like he was Pikachu and then upgraded to the sleeker, whatever, Pikasaur or whatever he becomes. He becomes something. So, but he was like, he was in his Pikachu.
Yeah.
Pika, 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 Pika. Yeah. Stand By Me, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the Stephen King story, The Body.
Yes. Which They do the pie eating contest in the movie, right?
Yes.
They don't incorporate all the stories that were incorporated into the...
No, but the pie eating contest is definitely in there, and is very Stephen King. That's one of the most Stephen King-y part of...
When I was a teenager, I loved Stephen King, and I had all his books.
Which you should, as a teenager, that's a good thing.
And I bought them all, the used bookstores. I would buy it, because I would like to read him. But when I became a man, I put away Childish Things, and one of those was Stephen King.
Yeah, was that his book, Childish Things?
I think so, yeah.
Wait, Needful Things.
No, I think it was Childish Things.
Okay.
And,
pretty sure it was Needful
Things. I think it was Needful. I don't know, because I stopped reading him. I did read it.
Did you put it away?
I put it away.
Okay.
I never owned it. I borrowed it from someone, because I was working a graveyard shift, and I didn't have a book, so I borrowed it to read it. Very disappointing. Very.
Was it?
It's a long slog to get to a telepathic spider. Right?
Yeah, called Mr. Legs. And in the end, he just goes up and he knits a little thing and it says, some pig.
But when I got rid of my Stephen King books, and there was quite a few, I did keep some. One of them was Different Seasons that had the body.
It
also had Rita Hayworth in the Shawshank Redemption.
Now, was that a King or a Bachman?
That's King.
Okay.
I never read any Bachman. I'm not a big fan of Randy Bachman. Although I think Taking Care of Business is a good song.
It's interesting when you, like, we're talking about this weekend, how, you know, the big rock anthem in the States is Kiss's Rock and Roll All Night, Party Every Day. Yeah, and you know, in Canada, we're taking care of business.
Yeah.
Listen, you can do all that. We got jobs.
We got jobs.
We got to take care of some business. Okay?
Somebody's got to keep the continent running.
Yeah, with you doing all that bullshit.
And people hung over.
And that's the difference between Canada and America.
Oh, look at their state of their economy. Yeah. Theirs is fine.
Yeah, kiss off.
But
you know what? They give too much money to the Kiss Army.
I kept Different Seasons. The Dead Zone.
Maximum Overdrive.
Nope. I did kind of keep Maximum Overdrive because I kept the book it was in, which is Night Shift, I think it was called.
Okay, yep.
The book of collecting short stories because I like The Boogeyman and Salem's Lot in that, or Jerusalem's Lot in that one. And then I kept Firestarter, which for some weird reason really appeals to me as a book, and I did read it twice when I was a kid.
What's Lawnmower Man in?
Lawnmower Man, I believe, is also in Night Shift.
Okay.
It has a few books that...
And a movie that has nothing to do with the thing at all.
I believe I said before about Night Shift that I tell a story about reading it for the first time.
No, please, go ahead.
I was
reading... Is this what you're going to draw your drawing up and you've set all this up just so you can do this?
Exactly.
All right.
I was
Is it going to be a dragon working the Night Shift? And he's like behind the counter?
Yeah.
And he's got like Sneaky on his little name tag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I was...
Guessed it.
I read a bunch of King. I read Carrie, I read It, or not It, The Stand, and a few other... And then I got this book, Night Shift. So I started reading it, and I read the first story, which is Jerusalem's Lot, which is kind of a H.P. Lovecraftian sort of a story.
Unrelated to Salem's Lot?
Unrelated to Salem's Lot.
He just, like, there's a lot of lots he's got.
Yeah, I think he just liked the name, and he changed it to Salem's Lot. It took the Jerusalem off, and it became Salem's Lot.
Okay.
Because that's where Salem, the name Salem comes from, right?
Jerusalem. Good stuff.
So then, I read the first story. Oh, no, it's a good start for this book. It's really interesting. It's the next chapter. Start reading that. It's about some guy working a graveyard shift in this mill that's overrun by rats. I guess it's weird. It's jumped 100 years, you know, into the... Then I read the next chapter about this astronaut who has aliens growing in his hands. So I'm like, this is the weirdest book I've ever read. I don't see how this is going to tie together. And I think I read about four stories where I realized it was a collection of short stories. But I'd never seen a collection of short stories before outside of an English class where you have...
That's a great challenge then to, like, you as a writer go, how do you tie it all in together?
I mean, you could up to a point because you could be like, well, where the mill is built was on the original site of the story Jerusalem's Lot. That could work. So you could have that whole story. But then going to the astronaut guy, you know, with his... Would it get too much? I mean, how are you going to tie him with the Lawnmower Man, with the Boogeyman story, with Quitters Incorporated?
I wanted to see, like, a little bit of a superhero comic with all the characters, like your Firestarter, Carrie, Kid from The Shining, all of them with their powers, and now they all meet each other and go like, oh, let me tell you what happened to me. And then they got to fight, like, the spider from It teamed up with, you know, Penny, Christine.
Penny something? Penny?
Penny, Pennywise?
Is that right? Pennywise the Clown?
I think so, yeah. Pound Foolish was his enemy.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't think we talked much about Stan.
Oh, Stand By Me.
It's a good movie.
I think we have talked about Stand By Me quite a bit on the show.
Okay. The next one...
It's really sad that the kid turns into Richard Dreyfuss.
This is a film that... Richard Dreyfuss, right. I remember. The next film is a movie that I think is really great. It would be one of
the Tony the Tiger story.
Would be a really, really great... The Thurl Ravenscroft story, actually.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
If this film hadn't become a series, if it had been a standalone movie, it could
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It could be in my top 10.
Oh. Who?
It's pretty recent.
Pretty recent. Initials, Twilight.
Initials TM.
Oh.
first word, the.
The mask.
The very close. That film, if there was a Mask 2 starring...
starring Kennedy? That guy, yeah, Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy. The Mask would be one of the greatest.
The Missionary,
the Matrix.
Magpie, The Matrix. Oh, The Matrix, okay, yeah, right.
I mean, that's a great film.
It's a really great film.
It has a super great ending,
yep.
Which is completely ruined by the two preceding films.
Because you
want the movie to end on the potential.
Yeah.
You don't. The resolution.
It ends with your imagination, and then it shows you what your imagination is. I mean, I think there's good stuff in the second film, like especially we've talked about this before, the car chase and
yeah,
whatnot.
That's great. I mean, in the era of CGI, to still do like a real car chase, I mean it's pretty amazing.
And, but then in the third film, to wrap it up in a little bow, just fuck off. Yeah, don't do that. Don't give me the big baby head talking to everybody, and everyone's blind, and people die. I don't need that.
To be honest with you, that movie was such a disappointment. I barely remember it. It's gone into my parental
blank
spot.
There's no need.
I changed a lot of diapers, and luckily that movie erased that movie from my memory.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't mind the second film, but I think you're right. The first
even
film,
like The Architect.
Too much explaining.
Yeah.
But it still, he leaves it open enough. Yeah, you're right. There wasn't enough grounding.
And the whole thing was like the kind of criminal underclass that's, you know.
What you have in the first film that you don't have in the second film is the real world. And you need the real world, so when crazy world comes in, you're like, shit, that's fucking crazy. But like in the second, everything's crazy world. Like even which I like, the car chase, you know everything's fake, so who fucking cares?
Yeah.
You know, you're all batteries, you're all hooked up to the thing. You know, you feel a little bad for the people turning into Agent Smith because you know that kills them. It was like, there's a lot of murder.
Does it kill them?
Yeah, it kills them.
Oh, I didn't
if
know.
You turn into Agent Smith, you die.
Oh.
So that's bad.
Yeah.
But you're just like, everyone's being killed. That's all fake. it's pretty, though.
That was pretty much a reaction. Well, that movie, the second movie turned me off at the beginning of it with that giant tribal drumming stupid scene.
Yeah.
I was just like, ugh.
I get that it's trying
to... Can you dig it?
Warriors. Yeah, it's weird in that everyone who's in that was in the real world, our real world, and now it's just gone, are you cool with this? Yeah. Do you miss toilets? Because how many toilets have we got? Do you miss it? We all smell terrible, don't we? We smell awful, you know?
Well, that's why it should end on the first one, because you don't want the gritty reality of the fact that even if they destroy all the machines... They have to rebuild everything. I mean, they're starting from scratch.
I mean, it is nice. You get something like, even like a Star Wars Return of the Jedi, right? It all ties it up in a bow. Mm-hmm. Is that for the best? Do you want to know what happens to Darth Vader?
Yeah.
No. You want your imagination just go and out there, right?
Yeah.
And you don't... Do you want a Star Wars 7? Because you're getting one. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. Whatever.
No, it's not. Here's why it's not. Because you've gotten the happy ending. Now, the only thing you can do for Star Wars 7 is you got to fuck that up. You got to have Luke go evil. You got to have this. You know, everything that we have resolved.
I think we know by now that anything that happens to Star Wars post-1984 is an ass-fucking.
The only thing that they could do they actually did do a Star Trek-style reboot and just went, let's just have some fun with it. Basically, just start with let's have some fun. That's the one aspect of Disney buying the franchise that I like.
What would you say if Joss Whedon was directing? Was writing and directing?
I think like he does a good Han Solo, because I've seen him do Han Solo on Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if the next one was more about Han Solo? They can't, I don't know.
See?
You have to go so far
See?
Into the future.
But here's the thing. You would have said that probably about Star Trek as well and go like, ah, it's the stupidest idea in the world. New actors playing Star Trek characters. Fuck that. Then you see the movie.
Well, I mean, maybe I'm not really a big fan of Star Trek, so I wouldn't be thinking like, no, you know, someone different than William Shatner playing Kirk. Outrageous. I wouldn't really think that. But to me, like Han Solo, the idea of someone different than Harrison Ford doing that character, you know, like immediately after.
Yeah.
You know, like
I think just in general,
it was a reboot. It had different actors playing the role.
It's a good idea that like let's freshen it up, because right now it's just too looking into its own. Even the best thing that's out there right now, which is the Clone Wars animated thing, it's just too up its own ass. Like it's like, how many times are you gonna bring back Darth Maul, and now he's got a scorpion body? Fuck off. Like it's great, but fuck off. We don't need that. We don't need to. What does the Sarlacc pit do on its day off? Well, it has problems with its mother. I don't need that. Let's just freshen it up. Let's just start it up. Like, okay.
But his mother doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Doesn't remember. Remember when I sat in your stomach for like 1,000 years being told by acid, Mom? I don't remember that. Okay. Speaking of Star Wars, the final film on the list is the best Star Wars movie. You can guess it from there.
Okay. So that would be the Clone Wars animated movie with the Tennessee Williams Jabba in it.
Tennessee Williams?
Well, there was Jabba the Hutt's cousin.
Tennessee Williams?
Yeah.
The playwright?
Yeah. Okay. There's a Jabba the Hutt. I guess he's a Hutt. He's something the Hutt.
So it's,
but it's just like
cat on a Hutt tin roof.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. But basically, like, you see this the Hutt, and mm-hmm. they go in, and he's wearing... I'm picturing him wearing a Hawaiian shirt, but that can't be right.
Also wrote the play Baby Mall.
But they walk in, and they talk to him, and like, listen, you know, Lord, da-da-da, we need you for this. And he's like, well, I'll never. I swear.
Can I just say one last thing?
Yeah.
Death's Turning Desire.
Very good. And he's all just like, well, I've never seen anything like this. And all my time being a Hutt in the universe, it's just like, what am I watching? I swear, you've always just come over here and see yourself down and have mint julep. And we're going to talk about this whole Death Star shenanigans.
The mint julep. You know what's weird about a mint julep? Is that it contains bourbon.
Why's that weird?
Because it's called a mint julep, which to me implies lightness,
yeah.
sweetness,
mm-hmm.
not cough syrup.
Well, if you want lightness and sweetness, baby, you're just coming over here and talking about legit Hutt.
I do that quite
often. Why don't you do a dance for me, boy?
I do that quite often in the car. If we have the heat.
Let's see a lightsaber. Let's go.
If we have the heat on too much in the car,
turn the heat on.
Oh, my, it's hot in here. Oh, Russ, just go fetch me a mint julep, honey.
Got the vapors. Seriously, it is a weird-ass movie, that one. That's the that's the weirdest character in it, though.
So that's the best one to you?
No.
That's the best Star Wars?
No. The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, that is the correct answer.
And do you know why it's the best? Because
it's the best one?
No, because it leaves your imagination going, what's going to happen? It doesn't button it all up.
You know why it's the best one? Because
it's a lot of Han Solo going on.
It has a bit of that, but the actors have kind of grown into their roles.
Right.
It's written by Lawrence Kasdan.
There's confidence.
It's directed by Irwin Kershner.
Okay.
You know, it's directed by competent people. Like, Kershner wasn't really a big movie director.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you direct? Like, Loving? And it's kind of these smaller
there's
films.
There's still some scenes that you go, ooh, hey, shut up, laser breath. There's still some of the era that are this close to up your nose with a rubber hose. Very close.
Those, I'm sure, but I'm...
There's everything but Han Solo hitting a jukebox and it's just like, Sunday, Monday, Jedi Day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Jedi Day.
But I'm sure.
Stood on it, Chewbacca. I'd sooner kiss a Wookiee. That could be arranged. Woo!
You need the audience
now. I gotta go jump a shark.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think those are fun. Like, that's a fun part of the film. And
Laser breath.
But I mean,
laser
whatever.
Breath. What's that mean?
I mean,
David.
I saw it in grade 8.
Okay, but let's just break that down. Sorry, everybody. We're going to break this down for 1 second. Okay. Hey, Dad, Dave, your breath is as bad as a beam of light. As an amplified beam of light.
But what
that's
they
how
meant,
bad it smells.
No, what
it
they
smells
meant,
just like light.
What they meant.
Oh, terrible.
What they meant was that your breath could kill. It is a laser.
Why not blaster breath then? First of all, who's got a fucking laser in the Star Wars world?
Laser breath is way better.
It is, because that's what they call their guns. No one goes, hey, he's got a laser gun, ever, in Star Wars, except for laser breath. Shut up. Shut up, movie, on that.
I think George Lucas did a rewrite?
On that?
Yeah.
You know what? That really smells like someone's just freeballing on the set. Like, they just come, you know, that just feels like someone...
After their cocaine in the dressing room.
Here's what I'm thinking. Your Carrie Fisher is friends with your Penny Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're good friends. You see them together a lot. So I'm thinking, Penny Marshall's on the set, and they're, like, doing a scene, and, you know, and he goes, this scene isn't working great. What do you think, Penny? Well, you know what we do in Laverne and Shirley is we say laser breath. Love it. It's in.
Okay. That's how it worked.
Yeah. You know what? Put a big L for Leia on your top.
Shlemiel, Shlemato, Hoth the Planet Incorporated. We're gonna do it.
Yep.
Okay.
Schlitz Brewery. Sounds like shit. It's funny.
It's funny. Don't forget Schlitz. Well, I despite the presence of the apparently, I don't know what it would be, eighth cardinal sin of calling someone laser breath, I think that is a great film.
No, it is. I Love You, I Know, fantastic.
Yeah.
That's old-timey good.
And what's great
That's good movie.
I think we talked about it quite a bit with Patrick when Patrick was on the show, so we don't need to go into it too much because we all you know, came over.
We're all trying to forget Patrick.
We're all trying to forget Patrick? What happened?
It's bad times.
Bad times?
Yeah, I think that's our worst show. With Patrick on it?
Okay.
Easily.
Okay. I think you'd be surprised that you think that.
I'm surprised that I think that as well. It's the first time I ever brought that up. But yeah, I mean, the one thing, like, when you hear, the more you hear about Star Wars, the more you realize George Lucas stumble-bummed into, like, a lot of the good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're running out of time, so let's go through.
We're way over, though.
Yeah, we're way over. What do we got left? Anything?
What
any movies?
Are we done? That's it. That was the last one.
That was the last movie?
Yeah, and you didn't give us overrated, so.
Oh, there you go. All right, then we're going to wrap this up. But let me say, if you're in Vancouver on November 5th, I'm doing a show called Sideswipe, which is a new competitive improv format I'm hosting. I created the show, and we got some amazing improvisers. We're doing it over at Havana. We're doing it at 9 o'clock. Just come and see it. It's only $5. Maybe it's $8. Could be either. You know what? If you say you listen to this show, $5. For you, $5. And how it differs from a regular improv show you might see, like a competitive improv show, is one, we use board games as the starting point. And two, when the two teams have competed, at the end of it, you vote as to what team you like better, and the team that wins gets to steal a performer from the other team.
Does that reduce the ranks of the other
team?
Yes,
it does, by one. So it could go down to just one
person.
Well,
I just wanted to be able to trade. And if you
win the next one, you can't grab that player that you just lost back.
Oh.
So it's a nice way to force players who normally wouldn't play together to jam together, which is a lot of fun. So that's next Monday. That's the 5th. If you go on to...
that's the 5th. Oh.
Yeah, November the 5th.
Okay.
It's gonna be fun. Hope y'all can come.
I was going to say I can't see it because I will be in Portland, but actually...
You liar. You dirty, stinking liar.
I'll be back.
You should come see it.
I'm going to be in Portland. Like I said, we'll be staying at the inn at Northrop Station, which is a really cool, funky hotel in Portland.
And if you hear this episode, when will this episode drop? On Saturday?
It'll be on Saturday.
Okay. So you will still be in Portland on Sunday. Okay,
so,
if you're listening to this on Saturday and you're going like, you know what Dave should see in Portland, write Dave at our website or Facebook or whatever.
Or tweet me. Tweet me at David. David.
You're in Portland. You got to go get a burger at.
Although,
this guy likes a giant burger.
Well, I have to get a burger. I'll be going to Little Big Burger in Portland because that is an awesome burger.
Has that been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
I don't think so. But it should have been, because it is leading awful. And then...
leading awful?
Why did I say leading awful?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sorry. Bloody great.
I think you're now... see, this is the problem.
I'm sorry.
Words are hard.
Words are hard. You know what? Here's an embarrassing thing that happened last night. I'll just tell the story.
Okay, tell it quick.
Really quickly.
Because we're almost at...
We're singing Lisa happy birthday.
Okay, as you do.
And Mary was taking a picture of the cake.
Millis was taking a picture of the cake?
Millis was taking a picture of the cake.
Yeah, it's the worst spy in the world.
Millis is taking a picture of the cake. And I was thinking to myself, why is Millis holding Lisa's camera to take a picture? And then instead of singing Lisa's name and happy birthday, I sang Millis's name. So it was not a happy moment in the household. That moment.
Well, you got a lot to make up for over this weekend.
Yes, I do.
All right. But yeah, give Dave advice as to
what to do
in Portland.
Well, we'll be at Powell's bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go there and buy some books. Then we'll go to Floating World Comics, which is a really good comic
book
store.
Very nice.
Down there. Home of the studio above it is home to our friend Joe Keating.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so maybe I'll... Joe, do you listen to the show? I'm going to drop by and see you. No,
we should have Joe on the show at some point.
We should. That'd be fun, actually.
Maybe mention that to him while you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to be going to Newcastle, Manchester, and Leeds in the UK about mid-month. So if you can think of some place that I should go while I'm there, you know, give me advice on that.
Yeah, when you're there, you should go to Manchester, Newcastle, and Leeds.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for listening to Sneaky Dragon. We appreciate the heck out of you for listening. Really, we honestly do. Tell your friends about the show. Go on to iTunes. Maybe say something nice about us. Go on to Stitcher. Maybe say something nice about us. You know, this is the kind of thing you got to say at the end of a podcast. We don't want to do it, but this is the way it works. That's the way, you know how it goes. You know, in the future, we're going to fix all this shit. We'll be able to just, like, have your brains, like, shoot something into your phones, and then we'll instantly know that we like, and you can share it mentally. But we don't have that technology now. Thank you, President Obama. But hopefully that'll be changed by the next show.
Yeah. Remember to vote for Mitts the Kitten.
That's right. We're not mitting around. I don't know what we're doing. Vote whoever you want to if you're in the States. Vote your heart. Vote your conscience. If you got a storm outside, stay indoors. You know what, Dave and I, we love you very much.
We do.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. And don't forget, episode 50 question show. So register questions.
That's right.
Two people have been hogging all the questions, so you should get a question in.
Yep.
by everyone. We're done.
Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. I don't know what to talk about, but Dave might have a list of trout. Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. Welcome to the Sneaky Dragon Show. This is the Sneaky Dragon Show.